Amen. Please be seated. Well, it's a brand new year, so why not a brand new sermon series, right? That's what you all were thinking when you drove your way over here today. And so we're launching today a brand new 8-week series entitled Faith and Money. Faith and Money. You probably weren't hoping you'd drive to church today and hear a sermon about money. I know that. Money is a difficult topic to talk about for both pastors and for congregants, but we're going to take this time because money and its relationship to who we are and our relationship to God has power. It has power both to control us and pull us away from God, but it also has power to change the world around us, depending on our perspective and what our relationship and faith and money is like. You can't follow Jesus consistently and ignore what he teaches. And Jesus teaches a lot about money. In fact, Jesus taught more about money than salvation, heaven, and hell combined. 16 of his 38 parables about money. 1 in 10 verses in the Gospels about money. 2,000 verses in total in the New Testament talk all about money, because money is a spiritual issue. And so we're going to slow ourselves down. We're going to take 8 weeks to walk our way through this. I don't want you to be nervous or uncomfortable, because we're just going to pause as a family and take a look at what the scriptures have to say about this thing that is a part of every one of our lives. We're going to begin today with a focus on treasure from Jesus' teaching in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Matthew 6, 19 through 24, and I'll begin reading in verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be gathered together in this space today. We're thankful to be heading into a brand new year, a year that we know you hold in your hands, a year where we know you will not be surprised by what takes place in this world or our lives. And so we gaze into the future, and we look forward to joining you in that journey to wherever it takes each of us. In these few moments that we have together today and worship God, as we gaze at your scripture, I pray that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. I pray you give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And I pray you give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way that we live every day. I pray all of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this passage, we're told not to do something. We're told to do something. We're given the reason for it. And finally, we're provided a reality check. We're told not to do something in verse 19. Jesus tells us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. To store up is to lay up, to collect, or to set aside. And treasure could be defined as valuable objects, things, or possessions. The word that's actually used there in Greek is a wide open word that could stand for all of our money and all of our possessions together. We're not to store up these treasures on earth, which literally means on this planet, but figuratively means in our lives that we live here in this world. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. Everything we store up can be destroyed by nature or the passage of time. Think about it. Everything we choose to store, whether we're storing it in our garage, storage unit, the back corner of our house, someplace in our backyard, anything that we choose to possess and store up can be destroyed by nature in the passage of time. Some of your translations don't say rust anymore. They say vermin. Did you notice that while we were reading? And that was an interesting change they made a few years ago to try to make it more accurate to what the original text said. But both vermin and rust are great descriptors of things that consume physical objects, whether it's something organic or something that we've manufactured. All of these things can be consumed and destroyed through the passage of time in nature. Jesus also says where thieves break in and steal. If something we own is not destroyed, then it can be stolen by others. Has anyone ever had something stolen that was near and dear to you? Something that just broke your heart when you found out that it was missing or had been taken? It can really pierce us when something like that happens. We don't just feel sad, but we feel grieved. We feel violated that somebody did that. We feel angry at what they'd done to us. And that feeling sticks with us depending on how attached we were to that particular object. I was working on this message this week, and I was thinking back to a time some 40 years ago when I was 10 years old, and my mom and dad surprised me by taking me down to the local bicycle shop and buying me my first brand new BMX bike. It was a Mongoose, people. Mongoose was what you wanted in that time. It was a Mongoose. It was shiny. It was new. It was like nothing I'd ever possessed in my life. It had these fancy icicle mag wheels that I basically, while I was riding, kept trying to look at them because they were so cool the whole time. It was absolutely amazing bike. I was in heaven. The surprise was beautiful, but this object, this possession, was something I had been dreaming of. And I rode it for, I'm not exactly sure how long. I think it was just a handful of weeks. Before one night, at the end of one of my rides, I put it in the garage, and I forgot to close the garage door. Next morning, when I went out for my ride, Mongoose wasn't there anymore. I can still remember, 40-plus years later, the grief in my heart, my mom and dad comforting me over my first big loss in life, trying to figure out how we could make this better, and there really wasn't a way. They couldn't afford another one, and I had to settle for something different. But even today, with a garage, by the way, that's filled with bicycles, I still grieve the loss of that Mongoose 40 years ago. That's what happens when our heart becomes attached to objects. Jesus is warning us that moth and rust can destroy those objects, that thieves can break in and steal those objects. And he's teaching us about this because he wants us to see that all is at risk. When it comes to money and possessions, everything is at risk. And the irony of this is that we often store things up because we want a sense of security. That's why we're hoarding things and pulling things in, as much money as we can, as many possessions as we can, because they make us feel secure. And yet here, Jesus is telling us that nothing is secure. Theologian Dale Bruner says it really well. He says, moth, rust, and thieves represent the insecurity of a life lived for accumulation. We're grasping for security. Our heart is attaching to these things for the sense of security, and yet, ironically, it's increasing our anxiety when we do so. Jesus tells us not to store up for ourselves treasures on earth. But in verse 20, we're told to do something. Jesus tells us, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And it's kind of interesting he does this. We're expecting a contrast, so maybe we're expecting him to say, don't store anything up. If it's going to break your heart, if you're going to lose it when you store things on earth, we're expecting him maybe to say, don't store things up anymore. But instead, he simply changes the location. He says, store these things in heaven, the dwelling place of God. Store your treasures in the very presence of God. That all sounds great, though, but what does it mean? How do we make our deposit? Where do we drive to deposit these things in heaven? Maybe he's referring to the practice of the Egyptians, where they'd be buried with their material items in the hope that they could enjoy them in the afterlife. How are we supposed to store these things in heaven? The short answer, I think, is something called economic divestment. Economic divestment, investing what we have in others. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 19:21. He says, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Exactly what he's talking about in this passage. Give away what you have, Take care of the poor among you. Take these blessings, these possessions and this money, divest them. Use them to bless the people around you. There will be much more on this concept later in our series. So I want you to put a pin in Matthew 19, 21, because we're going to come back to that. We're given a reason for all of this in verse 21. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This really is the heart of the matter. This is why Jesus tells us not to store up treasures on earth. It's because our hearts cannot be set here. Our hearts were not meant to be set on the things that we see right around us on this earth. Jesus isn't interested in getting all your money. It's worth saying that, right? Jesus isn't interested in getting all your money. You don't have to hide your wallet when you walk into earth because Jesus is needing some money right now and he's going to grab all he can from you. Jesus isn't interested in getting all your money. Think about it. Jesus never asked for money during his earthly ministry. He was all about teaching about his kingdom, transforming people's hearts, and actually getting them to set their hearts on things above, not on the things that are down here. This isn't about Jesus or God or the church grabbing for all of your money. Instead, it's about understanding that Jesus is interested in capturing your heart. It's just that for many of us, our hearts are inextricably linked to our money and our possessions. And Jesus wants to help untangle us. Finally, in verse 24, Jesus provides a reality check. He says, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money." He's not saying it's unspiritual to do this. He's not even saying it's unwise. What he's telling us is it's simply impossible. Some of our older translations don't use the word money. They use the word mammon. And mammon was removed because it wasn't a word that we often use in our culture today, and there's a desire to make the Bible more accessible. But in changing from mammon to money, something was lost. Money just speaks of dollars and cents, doesn't it? Our investments and the money we receive from our job. But mammon talked about both money and possessions, and somehow in the mix of that word, it talked about the power that money and possessions have. And that's exactly what Jesus is driving into here. Notice that no particular amount is provided. Sometimes when we talk about money in the church, we can sit back and think to ourselves, well, I'm barely making it, and so this doesn't apply to me. You know, Jesus didn't want to talk to me about money because I'm just kind of barely making it after all. I live in San Diego. Everyone's barely making it, right? Or maybe you're sitting in here thinking, oh, I know that guy at the other end of the pew is way better off than me. I hope he's listening today. It's easy to pass it off to somebody else, but none of this has to do with being exorbitantly wealthy. It actually applies to every single one of us, no matter how much money and how many possessions we have, because it has to do with our heart. It's a heart issue, where we've placed our heart, what our heart is connected to. And this mammon that Jesus talks about is a spiritual force that competes with God. This materialism is idolatry. It's actually a rival to God. And so Jesus asks, who are you going to serve? Where is your heart connected? Who is the one? What is the thing that is going to drive your choices and decisions in the way you choose to live every day? Is it going to be this mammon, your money and possessions, or is it going to be this kingdom that Jesus talked about, these commands he's given us, this way of life he's called us to in this world? That's why we're taking 8 weeks to talk about this. Because I want us as a community to carve out this time where we're not anxious about your pastor asking you to bring in your checking account, files for me, or we're not going to be passing the offering plate multiple times during the service because of this. We're not going to be doing anything bizarre or putting anyone on the spot, but instead carving out a safe space to really dig into the scriptures, Old Testament and New, and see what Jesus was calling us to when he talked about setting our hearts in heaven, setting our hearts and storing up our possessions and money in heaven as he's called us to. We can't follow Jesus and consistently ignore what he teaches about money. That's why across these next 7-8 weeks, we'll talk about greed and debt. We'll talk about contentment. We'll talk about trust. We'll talk about tithing and giving. We're even going to talk about being streetwise or savvy in the way that we invest what God has given to us. And we're going to do all of these things because we're seeking to understand what Jesus has called us to and how Jesus has called us to live. I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you'll come along on the journey. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us so much in terms of money, in terms of possessions, in terms of treasure. We recognize every one of us, no matter how much we own, no matter what our investments and bank accounts look like, that there is a power that comes in money, that there's a feeling of scarcity that can climb in, that can cause us to grab hold more than what we need. God, we want to understand that power. And we want to understand how it influences the way that we know you and relate to you, the way that we open ourselves to your love and your direction in this world. So I pray across these next 8 weeks that you would teach us, that you'd open us to hear what you have to say, and that you'd change us in all of the ways you want to. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.